You might know her best as Roald Dahl's Matilda.
Get in the car, Melinda.
Matilda.
Whatever.
Or as Natalie Hillard in Mrs. Doubtfire.
You can't go now.
When you have to.
We're right in the middle of Charlotte's Web. Who's gonna finish it?
Or maybe as Susan Walker in Miracle on 34th Street.
Santa Claus. I've known for a long time. He's not real.
Mara Wilson was a successful child actor. That is not who she is anymore. Now she's an author. She's written a book. It is called Where Am I Now? And she joins us from our studios in New York. Mara, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before we start talking about what's complicated about being a child actor, because a lot of things are.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about what is unequivocally great about it, because you did get to be in some amazing movies at a very young age. Did you?
Yeah, thank you.
Did that dawn on you?
I think it didn't really resonate with me until I got Matilda. At that point, I was thrilled because Matilda was a book that I had loved, a character that I had loved. Beforehand, I think it didn't really dawn on me, and maybe it's just because I was too young. You know, I was 5, 6 years old. But, you know, it was something that I realized much later, like, oh, wow, this is really cool. You know, I remember I got to have, you know, the most amazing birthday party ever, courtesy of Danny DeVito and his family. I got to travel. And on a pragmatic level, it helped me pay for college. You know, I'm not a millionaire, but it was a cushion. And that is something that, you know, in this day and age, you need to think about.
So you were clearly good at it. What stood out to directors about you? What made you catch their eye in these auditions?
Well, I think I had a good ear for dialogue from a young age, and I think that was probably because I spent a lot of time eavesdropping on my parents and my three older brothers. I loved to read from a young age too, so because of that, I could read my lines, which made things a lot easier. I don't think that I was a spectacularly cute kid, but I do think I had some of the like neoteny, you know, big eyes, big forehead kind of thing that indicate cuteness.
You do write a lot about your mom in this book.
Yeah.
She died of cancer when you were just 8.
Yeah.
Your mom had been so instrumental in your acting. How do you think her death changed your perception of that career? Did it at such a young age?
I think sometimes I wish that I had stopped after Matilda, because I think that, you know, that was really the peak for me. I was already sort of starting to age out of acting. I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep going. You know, I think it would have been a good time to reevaluate things. But I think that after my mother died, I felt like I had to keep going because film was the only constant in my life.
Hmm. You also weren't getting the roles that you wanted.
No, I was not. The thing is, they always want child actors to play parts that are a few years younger than they are. But, you know, when you're a 12, 13-year-old girl and your body's changing and your voice is changing, you can't, you know? I couldn't play 10 anymore. I didn't look 10 anymore. And I wasn't as cute anymore because I looked halfway between a child and an adult, which was what puberty is. And people didn't know what to do with me. I knew it and I felt it, and it really hurt.
There's the heartbreaking moment in the book when you were 11, 12, going through puberty,
yeah,
and a producer came up to you and said, your body's changing.
Yeah.
Can you tell that story?
Well, yeah, I was on the set of a movie called Thomas and the Magic Railroad, which was, you know, it was a kid's movie. It was fun to make. And I came to set one day after a few months away, and people were kind of giving each other worried looks, you know, the director and the costume designers. And I had to have the director come and sit with me and explain to me that, you know, my body was changing. And they brought out these sports bras that were basically, you know, binders. They were meant to bind my chest. I was horrified. I felt embarrassed. I felt like I'd done something wrong. You know, when you're in middle school, when you're a preteen, you always worry, is everybody talking about me behind my back, the way that I look? And everybody was.
You finally decided that you could let acting go. Did it sit with you okay?
I think it was kind of, there wasn't like one big moment where I knew I was done. There were a lot of moments where I was like, should I not? Should I rekindle this? Should I not? You know, I talked to agents, thought about going on auditions, but I don't feel like my heart was in it. And I remember, you know, in college, I would sleep through my acting classes. I would self-sabotage because I was so afraid to let people see, you know, to see me as an actor. I was at NYU and I knew there were a lot of good actors there. And that's when I started focusing more on writing. Now, writing I'd always loved, even, you know, on the sets of various movies, I would always be in my trailer writing stories, you know, usually very similar to whatever Judy Blume or Beverly Cleary or Bruce Coville book I was reading at the time. And I started writing dialogue and I started doing like performance pieces, you know, like 10-minute solo performance pieces. And eventually I did a one-woman show. And that felt so much more real than being on a set every day. There's that saying, I think Uta Hagen or somebody, you know, along those lines said, if you can live without it, you should. And I found that I could.
You wrote an entire chapter devoted to Matilda in the book in the form of a letter.
Yeah.
How do you think of her, Matilda? What's your relationship to her?
You know, I had a teacher in college who said, I think it would help you if you wrote a letter to her. Because I like to say that the most complicated relationship I'll ever have is one with a fictional 6-year-old girl, you know, because I wanted to be her so badly. And it helps me in a way to almost imagine that she does exist. It helped when I was feeling like everybody liked her more than they liked me and that, you know, I was going to be her for the rest of my life. I was going to be in her shadow for the rest of my life. And it really helped me to go back to the book, to think about it and realize what a privilege that was. Because she is this sort of archetype of a young girl who gained power through knowledge, a young girl who wasn't afraid to, you know, cause mischief and rebel against authority, and a young girl who was intelligent and thoughtful and considerate of her friends. And there are a lot of girls out there like that. And I think it helps to think of her as a person because then it does feel like I honored her, you know?
So how do you feel now about who you are and who you are independent from these characters that have been so important to you in the past?
I feel good. I feel good about myself, and I feel like I'm sort of in control of my own story, my own narrative, which is a really good feeling to have because I don't think I had that when I was a child. I felt like somebody else was always telling my story or making up stories about me. And as I have explained, making up stories and telling true stories has always been what I wanted to do, and it is what I am still doing.
Mara Wilson. Her new memoir is called Where Am I Now? Thanks so much, Mara.
Thank you so much for having me.